Chapter 7, Scrimshaw, The Whaler's Art. As a traditional shipboard pastime of 19th century mariners, scrimshaw refers to the indigenous, occupationally rooted art form of the whalers. Its defining characteristic is the use of the hard byproducts of the whale fishery itself: sperm whale ivory, walrus ivory, baleen, erroneously called whalebone, and skeletal whalebone, often used in combination with other found materials. Hard byproducts of whaling were the flotsam and jetsam of the fishery, parts of the whale that had little or no commercial value and could be given over to the sailors for their own pleasurable diversions. Sperm whale teeth could be polished to a high gloss, then engraved with pictures to which lampblack and colored pigments could be applied. The teeth could also be carved in relief or in full round to produce sculptural forms and all manner of ornaments for wooden boxes, canes, and other objects. Likewise, walrus ivory was used. The walrus hunt had been associated with whaling since medieval times, and even when the whalers did not take walruses themselves, as was typically the case in the 19th century, tusks were obtained by barter with northern peoples in Canada, Siberia, and Alaska, and were often utilized for scrimshaw. The characteristics of whale and walrus ivory are similar. The advantages of sperm whale teeth are their milky smoothness, homogeneity of texture, breadth, and rich color. They not only provide a larger surface for pictorial engraving, but can be cut and sliced and combined into larger objects or larger ornaments, including the slats for swifts, yarn winders, shafts, and handles for pie crimpers, and even the bars and slats for elaborate bird cages. Through the centuries, these products had commercial value from time to time, so they were only intermittently available to whalers for their own hobby work. Baleen had many commercial applications, but a baleen surplus in Holland in the 17th century eroded its commercial value, affording mariners an opportunity to obtain pieces of baleen for their own use. Skeletal whalebone was used for architecture and artisanry by Norse and Basque whaling pioneers in medieval times. However, beginning in the 17th century, pelagic whalers, who were primarily concerned with oil and secondarily with baleen, discarded the bones as worthless deadweight. So eventually bone, too, came into the hands of whalemen artists. Whale ivory, bone, and baleen precursors to whalemen's scrimshaw appeared almost from the beginning of medieval European whaling. Domestic implements carved out of skeletal bone by Vikings in Norway, game pieces and chessmen made in Paris, Cologne, and elsewhere, and an impressive inventory of 11th and 12th century votive carvings produced in English and Danish monasteries. Walrus tusks from Norway became a cheaper substitute for elephant ivory that was imported to Europe from Africa by Venetian and Genoese merchants. These tusks found their way into the hands of artisans in Central Europe, England, Turkey, Russia, and Spain. In the 17th and 18th century, Dutch and German whaling captains occasionally used baleen to make oval boxes, mangles for ironing cloth, and votive objects commemorating a family event or a successful hunt. The earliest known works of engraved pictorial scrimshaw date from circa 1817 to 1821. Contrary to popular belief, which ascribes the origin of pictorial scrimshaw to American hands, the first practitioners to adorn sperm whale teeth were British South Sea whalers, a few of whose pioneering works survive in the museum collection. The first piece to bear a date is elaborately but anonymously inscribed from the whale ship Adam of London, date 1817. The first known American scrimshaw artist, and one of the best, was Edward Burdett, who began carving scrimshaw circa 1824. The first American piece to bear a date is a recently discovered tooth by Burdett aboard the ship Oregon of Fairhaven, Massachusetts, in 1827. The most famous early scrimshaw artist is Burdett's fellow Nantucketer, Frederick Myrick, who produced 36 or more so-called Susan's teeth aboard the Nantucket ship Susan during 1828 to 29. He was the first American ever to sign and date some of his work. These pioneers were the vanguard of a tremendously productive generation of American, British, and Australian scrimshaw artists who followed in the 1830s and 40s, the golden age of scrimshaw. The defining characteristic of scrimshaw is the occupational context of process, materials, and personnel. Its aesthetic, iconographical, and technical characteristics exhibiting trends and tendencies that mostly followed fashion ashore place it four square within the decorative mainstream. However, its vivacious fluorescence within a single sequestered occupational group renders it unique, able to impart insights into the life and times of sea labor in the age of sail. The Scrimshaw itself was produced in large measure with the artist's mind fixed on the people back home, not only as the intended recipients of Scrimshaw gifts, but also as the beneficiaries of his newly acquired sailor's vision of the wide world. The genre, born of the sea, constantly looks homeward to shore. Chapter 7, Profile of N.S. Finney. In the 1830s and 1840s, in the wake of Scrimshaw pioneers such as Frederick Myrick and Edward Burdett, pictorial Scrimshaw exploded into a profusion of innovation by American and British sailor practitioners, most of them whalemen. In this golden age of Scrimshaw, many of the best were by anonymous artists. In one important case, that of N. S. Finney, 1813 to 1879, the artist's name and a portion of his work have been known all along, but only recently have his important early works been attributed to him. A native of Plymouth, Massachusetts, he was a whaleman for several decades, rising from foremast hand to second mate. Then, uniquely in the annals of the 19th century, he adopted Scrimshaw as a livelihood, which he practiced to great effect in San Francisco for more than 20 years in the 1860s and 1870s. He is the only known Yankee whaleman to have tried to make Scrimshaw into a commercial venture. He engraved walrus ivory, sperm whale panbone, and the occasional sperm whale tooth with precision and nonpareil skill. He became the consummate master of the technique of stippling on marine ivory, where the image was created by a mosaic-like series of dots, achieving a nearly photographic perfection in delicate gradations of tone. However, it is worth noting that he was a copyist only. Original scenes by Finney, scenes that are not derived directly from prints and photographs, are unknown. Nevertheless, in standpoint of clarity, subtlety, and attention to detail, he was the best there ever was.